He is there. Praise the Lord. I found it hard to clap with that song. You know, I was good in the verses, but it got a little hard on the choruses there. But praise the Lord. The worship team is doing a tremendous job, and Michelle's leading them, and God's got a good plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a council meeting before I forget to text the council next Sunday night. So just remember that. Hopefully I remember to text you during the week. In case I don't, it's in my mind, so I'll say it. We voted on church council, and we'll have our first meeting next Sunday night at 7 p.m., so looking forward to that. Also, we are about to start doing some outreaches. We have at least two, possibly three groups coming down this summer, and another group coming down next week to do construction work. And we are excited about how we are able to connect to the Colonia and help people. So and I want to thank Sam for helping me yesterday. He went with me to some houses at the Colonias, and we went in there to see what kind of work. And, you know, you see situations where, like, it was so cold this winter, and you see these back doors and front doors, they're not even secure, and they were telling us how cold it was this year, and things we take for granted, right? And we went in there looking at some homes and seeing the metal roofs and how the heat and just is going to be. So thank you, Sam, for doing that and coming with me, helping me out, because I'm not the best construction worker in the world. So that was very, very helpful. So thanks for that. But there's a group coming down, and we're going to connect them to some needs. And they're just missionaries that do construction. And it's how God works. I mean, Pastor Green always, he's been here during worship, but he leaves after worship. And so he's not here to hear me, but he listens to the tape, so he'll hear it. But, you know, it's how God just connects. There's such a bigger picture, and the work that Pastor Green and Kathleen and David have done over the years, 23 years in ministry and here in Donna, and the foundation that's been laid, and everything that's happened to get to a point where, you know, Sam and I go to a family and say, we want to help, and those people don't even realize all the 23 years and to lay a foundation that put us in a position to minister to people like that. And, you know, God has a bigger picture. All the little things that we do, you know, there's fruit. And when God's in it, when we're obedient, there's fruit in all of that stuff. And I was thinking about the young girl that we talked to, Sam and I talked to, and she happen to know one of the girls that comes to youth from the Colonia, and so maybe we could connect her with her, and they'll come together, and just things like that get me excited in my spirit, like another person being in a position to hear from God and to be changed forever. I mean, I don't know about you, I get excited because that's what it's all about, souls, right? It reminds me when Jesus looked over the people and said, The harvest is so full and ready, but the laborers are few. And so it's so exciting to see how God puts things together. And he has no measure of time. I mean, God is time. But he knows what he's doing. And he's putting things together. So we're getting ready to impact this community again. So whenever you see an opportunity and we announce if you want to help, and I don't even mind if you just want to see and you don't want to help, that's okay. Eventually you'll start helping once you see, right? But just to be part of it. So we're going to be blessing some families, and I'll speak to some of you individually that you can maybe help in the next week or so. But we're excited. God's putting something together, and we're going to take the land for his kingdom. Amen. That is our theme in 2018. We're going to take the land for his kingdom. We're going to take the land. And last week I talked about taking the land through obedience. And obedience is a big deal. I said, and obedience is very, very important in order to advance in God's kingdom. And we see it in the Old Testament over and over, right? And it is truth. So I want to encourage you to take the land. I want to encourage you to not be satisfied with just staying where you are, where you're holding the land. Don't be satisfied with ordinary. Keep growing, keep fighting, keep trusting, keep taking your relationship with God to higher ground. As we prepare to take land in 2018, the act of obedience is very, very, very important. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Old Testament, the Bible says. Obedience is very important. In obedience, you will find blessings beyond your comprehension. You know, the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for His people. And He's got amazing things planned for us. And last week we focused on obedience as described in the Old Testament. We kind of looked at it from the Old Testament because there's lots of examples of God saying, obey my commandments and things will go well for you. Amen. And so today I wanted to do part two of this and talk a little bit about what's in the New Testament as far as obedience goes. And for example, in the Old Testament, Joshua was told, if you do this and this and this, you will take the land. And the walls came down and they took Jericho. And eventually the land of Canaan, the promised land. They took the land because they were obedient. And I want to start today in James chapter 1, verse 19. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So be slow to speak and slow to wrath, but swift to hear. That's a very important concept that we need to obey. And that is that hearing is very important. Have you ever been in an argument and you're not hearing? Right? They're trying to tell you something back, but you're just not hearing it. You already know what you want to know, right? Hearing, the Bible says, is very important. Hearing and being slow to speak and slow to get angry. Because when you get angry, all your senses go crazy, right? Have you noticed that? Yeah. And you say things you regret and it just, anger doesn't work, right? Right? It doesn't work. The Bible clearly says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It doesn't mean that you don't stand up for what is right, like Jesus did in the temple, right? He did what he had to do for righteousness. So there's obedience even here. Be swift to hear and slow to speak, and definitely be slow to wrath. And that's important. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Whenever we get angry, it never works for righteousness. Have you noticed that? You know, with a very rare exception, right, that you get angry for a reason, just like Jesus did right at the temple. But for the most part, when you're dealing with your anger, it usually isn't lined up with righteousness. Amen? Amen? You got to be honest with yourself. That's a big step, right? Like, admit, the first step is to admit, right? We need God. We need to recognize that we're human beings and we need to be slow to wrath. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. So there's some more obedient scriptures. Be meek. Don't be doing stuff that's sin, right? And be meek and be engrafted into the Word of God. Have meekness towards the Word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Obedience. The Bible tells us here that You know, just hearing and understanding isn't obedience. Just hearing and grasping the concepts and saying amen and going through the motions is not obedience. It's when you understand and you hear and you do what Jesus says, and obedience, that's obedience. That's what Jesus, well, that's what the Bible teaches us to do, to be doers of the word. Then it gives an example. For if anybody be just a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightforward forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, if you're just a hearer and you're not a doer, you don't even know who you are. That's pretty deep. If you're just hearing and you're not acting and being obedient and taking action to God's word on the do's and the don'ts and spending time with him in prayer and reading, then you just don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you knew, you'd be obedient. Because Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Amen. Be obedient. So it's like looking at yourself in the mirror and not knowing who you were. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So when you are a doer and you don't just hear and say amen and go on with your life and do your own thing, but you hear and then you leave this place and you leave after you've heard and you try to apply what you've heard to your life, now you're getting it, right? Amen. So there's a difference. Hear, be blessed, feel good, and do whatever you want. And then there's those that hear, and when they hear, they absorb and they try to apply what they've heard to their life. That heart, according to this scripture, is a man that will be blessed in his deed. Everything that you do when you're obedient will be blessed. Right? And we read it in the Old Testament, and it's still true in the New Testament. Hasn't changed. Obedient hearts are blessed. Obedience blesses people. And in this scripture, well, let's read verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So again, if you're just going through the motions and there's nothing real in your heart, an obedient heart, then it's in vain, right? It's in vain. It's not real. So it's clear in this chapter in James that being doers, acting on what you know to be true and applying it to your life, that is obedience. And it says there in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, the widows, to their afflictions, to keep himself unspotted from the world. So it's clear in James that just hearing isn't good enough. We have to be doers of God's word. Be doers. The New Testament also talks about obedience. If you read the stories in Jesus in the New Testament, you know, all that red ink in your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all that red ink in your Bibles. You read through the red ink, you know, Jesus gives a lot, says a lot. And there's a lot of obedience there. For example, he says, love your enemies, right? That's probably the hardest one of them all that he commands us to do. Love your enemies. That means people who do things to hurt you or to make you feel bad or to bring you down, love them. Doesn't mean you have to go out with them, right? Have dinner. All you have to do is love. What is love? At the end of the day, even though they're your enemy, you still want them to find God. Right? Love. Love. Because that's exactly what God the Father wants for them too. Because He loves them. So, loving your enemy is, in other words, just not hoping for the worst in people. It's wanting the best for people. Even the ones that hurt you. Still wanting the best for them to find God. Because anyway, if they do find God and you pray for your enemies like that, everybody will be better off, including you, because they probably won't be your enemy once they find God. Right? So there's the commandment to be obedient about. Jesus said that. He also said there's two great commandments, and that is love God with all your heart. Right? That means, you know, love. If you love me, keep my commandments. So that's how you show your love, right? You show your love by keeping the commandments, by being obedient, by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he also said that was one, love God with all your heart. Another thing he says in the red letters of your Bible is love your neighbor as yourself. That's humility. That's caring for others, putting others in front of yourself in a sense that you care for others like you care for yourself. That's a humble heart. He also says, seek first the kingdom of God. Right? That means in your life, when you go outside these doors, you got to make sure that God's still first in your life. Amen. You got to work it. It just doesn't happen. You don't wake up and God's first. You got to pray. You got to read. You have to take time to listen to the Spirit. And sometimes He tells you to pray for somebody, or sometimes to fast for a situation, or just being tentative to God, seeking Him first, putting Him first in all things. He also says to choose the narrow path. There's another commandment. The broad is the way, right? It's easy to go with the carnal world. But Jesus says, don't choose the broad way, choose the narrow way. And we know what that means. That means be different. We are not of this world. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, has given us a new heart, a new mind. Right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that we may please God, show what's acceptable to God. And the other thing he says is honor your parents, right? So any teenagers here or children here, most of them are in Sunday school, but honor your parents. Right? It's obedience. Obedience. You are blessed when you honor your parents. The Bible actually says if you want to live a long life, honor your parents. Right? So for those of you that want to live very long, make sure you're honoring your parents. Now, that doesn't mean you have to listen to your parents, everything they tell you if you're an adult, right? If you're a child, you do. But if you're an adult, it's not about, it's about honoring, right? It's about respect and honor. And that's important. So that's obedience. Serve others. Jesus tells us to serve others. That's obedience. Jesus tells us, do not judge, lest you be judged. Right? That one's easy for us to do, right? We can go home after church and, did you see so-and-so? Yeah, no, they weren't. I thought I heard him snoring over there in the corner. Right? We're easy to judge, but Jesus says, "Be careful when you judge, because, you know, when you're trying to poke needle out of somebody's eye, there may be a, what does that say, a beam, a log, a beam in your own eye." So He tells us not to do that. Practice secret. He also tells us to practice secret disciplines. I love this part. He says, "When you give, do it in secret, right? Don't be like, hey, everybody, I'm giving, I'm helping people, and I'm going to help, and wave a wand. And when you fast, I'll say, everybody, I'm fasting again because I'm awesome. And God's going to move again, and I'm just so awesome, I'm fasting." You may not say the word awesome, but when you start publicizing it, that's really what you're trying to say. And then he says, when you pray, pray in the closet, in secret, and the Heavenly Father will reward you openly. See, so he gives us all these commandments, and there's so many more. I can't go through them all. I like this one. Well, I don't know if we like it, but it's truth, and we need to hear it. When he says, if your left hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Wow, you better be obedient. Now, here's one thing about the Bible. You can't just read one scripture and then say, oh, that's what it means. You got to take the whole thing in total, right? It doesn't mean it wants everyone to start cutting their body parts off. I know some of you want to just take that and create your own religion. People do that. Create their own religion on this. But what it means is this to me. And he says it to the woman, the adulterous woman too. He says, you know, I neither condemn you, but go and sin no more. And then, and so what he's saying in this scripture is when you're dealing with sin, take it very seriously and get rid of it. Right? Hopefully that doesn't mean you have to cut anything off, right? But the point is, it is serious. One thing I love about Jesus is he's going around with all the sinners and he's just loving on them, and he's just, and even the Pharisees are upset at him because he's meeting with them. But Jesus, even though he was meeting with them with Zacchaeus and the adulterous woman example and many other examples, no, every time he was loving and merciful, but he never excused sin. He always said, turn, be born again, change, you know, and it's serious. So us to be obedient with how to deal with sin, how to deal with sin. And that's a whole sermon on its own. How do you deal with sin? You gotta be honest with God. You gotta ask God to empower you to overcome. Because one thing I've learned about life, there are certain things that you are doing that are wrong that you can pretty much stop doing in your own power. But there's other sins that you can't stop in your own power. You need the Holy Spirit to change your heart, to change your mind and your heart and your spirit, just to change. And so the answer to dealing with sin, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And there's your answer. If you want to get rid of sin, go find more spirit. Go pray more, go fast more, go seek God more, be in church more. Just be in His presence all the time. And the things of this world will go strangely dim, as that song says. The old hymnal. So that's the answer. So he says, deal with sin. So here, let's read what Jesus said. Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, so Jesus is saying, all of you hearing me, and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. So Jesus said, the people who listen and do them, the doers, this is who they are. They're building on top of a rock, and no matter what comes their way, the rain, the floods, the wind, and everything that beats against them, it will not fall. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So Jesus clearly says, when you're a doer, you're stable. You're solid. You're not going to be tossed to and fro with everything that comes your way. When you are doing obedient to what Jesus' words are, His commandments are, you are solid. You are a rock. You are stability. But when you are not, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is very clearly giving you a picture. Those who are doers and obey versus those who hear but aren't obeying, aren't doing. There's a clear difference. You can look at your life over time and you can ask yourself an honest question. Who am I? Am I the doer or am I the hearer? Right? And just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a doer, right? Right? A doer acts on what they hear and applies it to their life according to this word. And those people, blessing will follow you a lot, or eye has not seen, right? Blessings will follow obedient hearts. You know that scripture we read last week, that God is looking to and fro, looking for people who have a perfect heart toward Him. Right? Not who are perfect, but for people who have a perfect heart. And why is He looking for them? So that He may show Himself strong in them. So that He may show His glory through them. And you know what that means when God shows His glory through you? It means blessings. Right? When God is showing His glory through your life, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond measure. So we can respond, and we'll list the three things here. I think we wrote them up on the board. When you hear this, when Jesus says, how do we respond to God's word? Reception to the message. How do you receive this message today? There's got to be things in your life that you still need to put under obedience, right? Because we're not perfect. So when you hear these words, how do you receive that message? Do you receive it by saying, okay, I'm almost out. It's almost 12, 15, 12, 30. We're almost out. Come on. Is that the way you're receiving it? Or are you looking in your heart and saying, yeah, I want to do better. I want to take the land. I want to be a warrior. I want to have a mindset to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So I want to put everything in obedience to His word in my life. Wow, that's a different heart, right? Which one are you? Which one are you? Because it matters. Jesus just illustrated. The first one is kind of on quicksand. And the second one that says, I want more of you. I want a mindset change. I want to be a warrior. Then you're going to be solid on the word, and you're going to be a warrior that takes land. You're going to serve. All these things we read, you're going to serve others. You're not going to be quick to judge. You're not going to be quick to wrath. You're going to put that stuff under the blood. You're going to keep getting better and better. And the fruits of the Spirit are going to become more and more evident in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, long-suffering, and all the things that are there in those fruits. So what's your reception to the message? We got to ask ourselves an honest question. And then how are you going to respond to the message of being a doer? How are you going to respond? When you go outside these walls, how are you going to say, okay, I need to work on this. My prayer life, my Bible reading life, my giving of my tithes and offerings, or my giving of my time to serve, whatever it may be, just how are you responding to this message? Right? And the last, the results of obedience. The results of obedience, we just read them, right? They're blessings. There's blessings. If you love blessings, love obedience. Amen? I love blessings. I want to be blessed. I want to be in His will. Right? And I love that. I forgot which prophet it was. I think it was Moses who... God told them, you know, the people are rebelling. They're always complaining and murmuring. He says, why don't you just go with them, take them over there, and go that way. I'm getting tired of them. And Moses says, no, if you're not going, I'm not going. If you're not with us, I'm not going to do it. You, I need you. You have to be with us. And that was Moses' heart. And I pray that's our heart. If God's not with us, if God's not doing in what we're doing, I don't want to be doing it. It's a waste of time. Right? If God's not in it, we labor in vain. Right? That's the scripture. Last scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Obedience. Obedience. If you love blessings, love obedience. Be obedient. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So if you see someone in a fault and you want to help them, you're supposed to do it in the spirit of meekness. That's so important. That is so important. There are people trying to tell people how to live better, and it comes across with pride. Amen? Work on your meekness. Always work on your meekness when you're trying to help people. Because humility and weakness and meekness is God's character. It's Jesus' character. And that's important. And it says here, to when there's someone in a fault, help them. But do it in meekness, in a spirit of humility, because it could be you one day, right? Considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. We'll go back to that one, because that's important. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right? So obedience. Sow obedience and be prepared to be blessed abundantly. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall he also reap. When we sow obedience, when we sow being a doer, you're going to reap a bountiful blessing in all areas of your life. In all areas of your life. So don't leave this place today. You know, I always say at the beginning, write a thought down before you leave today. So you haven't written one down, now's your chance. Sow obedience. And we're going to take the land. You're going to take land. You're going to make a difference. You're going to be a warrior. Your mindset will change. Be obedient. And things are going to begin to happen in your life. Because God is not a man that he should lie. When he says it, he does it. And he said in his word, when you're obedient, you're blessed. When you're obedient, you're blessed. The level of our obedience is going to determine how much land we take from the enemy. I believe that. When we're obedient and we serve and we do the things that Jesus commanded us, we will impact and cast out darkness in areas in our lives and those around us. My desire is to take as much land as possible in 2018 in the Spirit. And to retake the land the enemy has stolen as well. So there's some things the enemy has done that when you were going through a time in your life and he's stolen some things. When we're obedient, I really believe he will restore everything that the enemy has stolen. If we as individuals and as a church begin to be obedient, to deal with sin, to love and serve people, and be a blessing to people, the blessings will overflow beyond our comprehension. I know your heart's desire is to answer the call of God for your life. The truth is, you will fulfill this calling only through obedience. You don't answer God's call in disobedience. Right? Like Jonah, right? Running away. He will turn us back, but you don't answer the call through disobedience, only through obedience. And each and every one of us in this place has a call to make a difference for his kingdom. Every one of us. And those opportunities will show themselves. You'll see God in it when you're obedient. And when you are fulfilling your calling, you will be satisfied and full. As Jesus said, you will be on solid ground and you will not be moved. So let's determine in our hearts today to be obedient, to set things right, not because the pastor said it or was a sermon, but for one simple reason. Why do you want to obey? Because above all, we love God with all our heart, and He is worthy of every sacrifice to obey, right? He's worthy. He's worthy to be an obedient, to surrender to. Because His ways are better than our ways. That old song, trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is victory in obedience. There is land to be taken in obedience. There's a mindset that happens in obedience. Warriors arise in obedience. So much comes out of obedience. The enemy will notice. The enemy will notice, because when you're obedient to God's word, then you open up the gates of blessings and the gates to take over darkness in areas around you. So be obedient. Be obedient. And His divine blessing will overflow your life. Amen. Are you ready?
Amen.
I'm ready to go out and just take this week and be obedient. Whatever it is in your life that you need to put under obedience to God, just don't ignore it. Work on it. Work on it, because the best is yet to come for God's people. It is. So let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for the truth of the gospel. Lord, for Your words that are so clear, that when we obey, when we're doers, Your blessings are overwhelming. So, Lord, we don't obey just to be blessed. We obey because You're worthy to be praised. And You're worthy to be honored. Lord, and You said in Your word that we were to take up our cross and to follow You. Follow You by being doers. So, Lord, this morning as we close this service in prayer and close these thoughts in our hearts, help us to take what we've heard and go outside these walls and put them into action in our lives. Whether we need to read, pray, fast, help people, serve, work on our anger, work on this or work on that, whatever it may be in our lives, we are determined to have a mindset change and be obedient in all things, because the best is yet to come. We know that, Lord. We know that. Lord, for every family that's represented here, for every family that has prayer requests, that things that worry them, every family, Lord, we just pray a blessing upon each family represented here today, that You will make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, and if we've been disobedient in the past, Lord, we know Your word is clear that if we confess, You are faithful and just to forgive us. So, Lord, we confess. Lord, we give You everything, Lord, our faults. And we want to be obedient from this day forward, so that the enemy will not have a foothold on anything pertaining to our lives and our family. We want to be obedient. We want to surrender to You. And above all, Lord, we want to answer the call You have for our lives. Because that calling impacts people and draws them closer to You. Every one of us in this place is called to be a light in the world of darkness. So, Lord, be with us. Bless us as we do ministry work and serve the community and do different things. Lord, I just pray You bless it. And bless Your people and the families here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a